This morning, if you have your Bibles, if you will turn to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. And we are going to begin reading in verse 29. Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 29. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners?" And Jesus answering said unto them, "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance." Several weeks ago, on a Saturday morning, our church took the time and the expense to put on a first aid, CPR, and AED training here at the church. And while all of that training was important, the CPR training is what we will most likely need in the event of an emergency. I thought the training was excellent. And I'll be frank with you, I hope we never, ever, ever have to use it here at the church or anywhere else. But if we do, it could save a life one day. CPR, you've heard about this, stands for cardiopulmonary resuscitation. It is an emergency life-saving procedure that is performed once the heart stops beating. I actually saw a video this week of a man. He was 60 years old. He's my age. Scared me to death. But he's refereeing basketball in a semi-pro league, and you could see him. He started down the court. He took about two steps, and he stopped, and he just collapsed. This young man that was on the bench playing ball that night as a semi-pro ball player saw this happen. He runs off the bench. He's about 6'8". And he gets down around this man and he starts doing chest compressions. He did chest compressions for 30 minutes. Brought this man back. Got his heart back to beating. Went to the hospital. He had a quadruple bypass, but guess what? He's back refereeing basketball today. That 6'8 kid saved his life. Now, don't get me wrong. I know God took care of the situation. But he used the knowledge that he had to administer that first aid. You know, we were told in training that the first thing you need to do at the first sign of an emergency is you call 911, but then begin those chest compressions, pushing hard and fast on the heart. As I was preparing for this, I looked up a few statistics. It really surprised me. The American Red Cross says that there are over 500,000 cardiac arrests annually. That's a bunch. But get this, CPR increases the likelihood of survival by at least twice and almost three times if administered. Administering CPR can double, even triple, the chances of someone surviving if a bystander takes action. CPR is valuable to know. And I am so glad we have so many who are now trained in the application of this life-saving technique. But you know, it got me thinking. It got me thinking that there are so many people in the world today that are experiencing spiritual cardiac arrest. Their heart is no longer beating, centered on God. They're dying and they don't even know it. And for many Christians, let's be honest, we stand by and we watch this and we do nothing to intervene. I wonder how many spiritual cardiac arrests happen annually in relation to that 500,000 physical cardiac arrest statistic that was put out by the American Red Cross. I have a feeling it's many, many more. Jesus made this statement, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Jesus came to save. Think about the times he performed spiritual CPR on various lives. Not just the physical healing that he did, but that spiritual CPR. The woman at the well comes to mind. What about the woman that was caught in adultery? What about his disciples? And especially Peter. God bless him. How many times did Jesus perform spiritual CPR on them as well as so many others? Jesus said, "I came to save those that are dying." That was his mission. That was his calling. And guess what, folks? We, as his disciples today, that should be our calling as well. What this world needs is CPR. Christ, prayer, and repentance. The world needs Christ. Church, the world needs to see and experience Christ, but the only way they're ever going to do that is through us. The world needs to see us living for Him, loving each other, reaching out to them in love. My little boy, who is now grown with children of his own, taught me something when he was little. He had evidently heard or seen me and Ginger praying for him. And when he felt bad, I can remember times when he would walk over to where I was sitting and I'd have my legs crossed and he'd lay his hand on my knee and he'd look at me and say, "Daddy, I don't feel good. Will you pray for me? Or my stomach hurts. Would you pray for me?" Why would a kid do that? Because he's seen us do it. And by the way, he's seen it work. He's seen the results of that. I wish he did that today more than he did. I wish he did it more today than he used to. The world needs to see Christ in us. Think about it. We bear the label of Christian. Christ-like. That means our actions, our words, and our very lives should reflect Him. The world needs to hear the gospel message, the good news. They need to know that they don't have to live in a rut like they've been living in all along. They can have a new life, an abundant life in Christ. The world needs the Christ that we as Christians serve. But here's the question. And I want you to be very honest with yourself. You don't have to answer to me. You don't have to answer to anybody else. You just need to be honest with yourself and be honest with God. Here's the question. When was the last time we shared Christ with others? When was the last time we invited someone to come to church? When was the last time we prayed with someone, shared the gospel of Christ with someone? Do we stand just idly by while they get closer and closer to hell? If we do, we should all be ashamed. Remember the statistics from the Red Cross saying that the administration of CPR to a person suffering physical cardiac arrest increased their chances 2 to 3 times of survival? How many people are lifting up their eyes in a devil's hell this morning because no one cared to help? Folks, we can make a difference, but we have to act. We have to be willing to get involved with people. And I'll go so far as to say, don't listen to what I say. But listen to what Jesus says, because in fact, it's not a choice that we do this. It's a command. It's a command. Mark 16:15, and he said unto them, go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Matthew 5:14-16, ye are the light of the world. Light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the room. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Folks, it is a command that we share Christ with the world. The world is dying, and they need Christ. Are we doing all we can to show Christ to them? This world also needs prayer. I don't know if I've ever seen the world in the shape that it's in today, at least not in my lifetime. You know what? I have found that the Bible has all the answers for the problems we face. And it's got an answer for the problems that we have in the world. You're familiar with the scripture. It's from 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Have you ever really looked at that verse? Because the only thing, the only action that precedes us praying is that we humble ourselves. We humble ourselves by realizing that we can't fix it, but God can. And once we humble ourselves, we pray. We pray, seeking His face, turning from our wicked ways, and even God hearing us and forgiving us and healing our land, that all follows prayer. Because prayer changes things. Have we not seen prayer change things even in this congregation? Yes, we have. We have humbled ourselves. We have prayed. We have realized that we can't fix things, and we have seen God's hand at work. We have. I've told you this before, but it bears repeating. We had a man in our home church at Powhatan. And his family went to that church. Well, he had two brothers. They were working down at Jones Brothers Furniture one afternoon. Two brothers. And they were doing electrical work. And one of them, Bill was on a ladder that got electrified. And his brother, Jeff, worked there. And Jeff ran and Jeff got Bill off the ladder. But Jeff got hung on the ladder and Jeff died. We get a call one night that said Frank's brother, Jeff, was killed and his other brother, Bill, was in critical condition. would we pray? And I hung the phone up, and we had gotten through with dinner. Spencer couldn't have been more than how old, honey? Maybe four. He was playing around with the toys on the floor. You know how kids already got a million toys strung out, and they're playing with one. And I had the TV on. Ginger was cleaning up supper dishes. And when we got the call, I told Ginger about it, and I said, we need to pray. So I turned the TV down. Ginger stopped doing what she was doing. And we always believe if we're going to have prayer, we need to involve the whole family. So we told Spencer, said, you need to get over here. Here's what's happened. Mr. Frank's brothers, one got killed, one got electrocuted, and he's in critical condition. We need to have prayer. So all three of us got down on our hands and knees, and we joined hands, and we had prayer for those two men and that family. When I said, amen, Ginger goes back to the kitchen. I get back on my couch. I turn the TV back up, and Spencer goes back to his toys. But in just a second, he toddled over to me, and he looked at me and said, Daddy, he said, Mr. Bill's sick? I said, yes, son. I said, he's pretty sick right now. He looked at me and he goes, well, him well now. Far as he was concerned, we had prayer. We turned it over to God. God had it. Friday night, we were at the funeral home for Jeff. And Bill, his brother, walked in. Feet burnt to a crisp on the bottom, but he walked in to pay tribute and respects to his brother. Folks, you tell me prayer does not work. There's been too many times in my life, and I'll bet in your life, that the only way you made it through was because of prayer. The world needs prayer today. We've asked prayers for our church family, for ailments, for conditions, and God has truly answered. We've seen conditions that were serious turned around as joy because of prayer. We pray for others, and we pray for those that we love and we care about on a regular basis. But let me ask you this. How often do we really pray for the lost? How often are we praying for their salvation, for their spiritual healing? And I know what you might be thinking. You may be here, you may be tuning in, you may be going, well, you know what, Pastor, I hear you, but I don't think my prayers would do any good. I'm just a nobody. Well, first of all, you're not a nobody, you're somebody to God. He made you. So you're not any junk. That's one thing. But my Bible tells me in James 5:16 says, confess your faults one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You might think you're a nobody, but I'm going to tell you something. Your prayers are heard by God. I prayed with many a person around an altar that is giving their lives to Christ, and they stumble all over the words that they want to say because they just don't have the words to say. But I guarantee you, my God hears them. I prayed with children that came to me and said, Uncle Roger, Pastor Roger, I want to give my heart to Christ, and they don't really know what to say, and they say it in a more simplistic statement than you could ever imagine, but I guarantee you my God hears every word and understands them, by the way. That word effectual means something that is successful in producing a desired or intended result. And that word fervent means it means having or displaying passion or intensity. So have you ever thought about it this way? Maybe the reason we feel that our prayers will have no effect, no results, is because we're doubtful in our prayers. We're doubtful in our prayers. Maybe we're not seeing results from our prayers because we lack passion or intensity. Listen, when we really get a burden about the lost, our prayers will have passion and they'll have intensity because we will not want to see anyone go to hell. People are dying, church, and they need to be saved. They're headed for hell where there's not going to be any escape, just constant torment for all eternity. How can we not pray for God's hand to move in their lives so they can escape that terrible destination? Hear me on this, church. The world needs prayer. What are we doing about it? But the world also needs repentance. And I'm going to tell you right now, before we get into this side of it, I may offend somebody. But I'm going to share with you what God's Word said. Don't believe what I say. But you better believe what God says. The Bible says that when we repent and when we return to Christ, He forgives us and He cleanses us. 1 John 1:19 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That word in the Greek for cleanse does not mean just a once and done bath. It means He cleanses us over and over and over again. Get the picture of something being put on a washboard. In other words, what that verse says to me is that I know from Romans that I have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but I know from 1 John 1:9 is that my Lord has got me in His hand and He's putting me on the washboard every day. And if I confess my sins, He's cleansing my sins and making me white as snow. Hear this, church. Repentance is not optional if we wish to have a relationship with God. We're going to talk about this, I hope, in a few weeks. But Peter, in Acts, boldly told the people, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Before Jesus ascended back into heaven, He told His disciples that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name to all nations. But for one to repent, one has to believe that they have done something wrong. Our conscience has been seared by this world. Until we no longer feel any shame, we don't feel any disgust for the things that are contrary to the Word of God. Let me give you a couple of examples. You don't have to go too far except looking at the news, but the world would have us to teach our children that they can be any gender they decide to identify with, regardless of how they were made by God. Don't worry about what I think, but what does the Word of God say? So God created in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Them, male and female, created He them. That's what God says. For years, and even today, following the overturning of Roe versus Wade, there are still babies that are being murdered in the name of a right to choose. Don't worry about how I feel, but what does the Bible say? Exodus 20:13, thou shalt not kill. We have an entire month in this country that is set aside to glorify the things that God says are wicked. One of the reasons that Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed in the first place. What does Scripture say about that? Well, in Romans chapter 1, we read, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave him up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is considered against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. Verse 25 of that passage says it all. We have changed the truth of God into a lie. It says that we have changed that. What God says is right no longer seems to matter. It's all about what each individual feels, their own decisions about what they consider to be right and wrong. We have changed His truth into a lie. God didn't do this. We did this. God is truth. He always has been, and He always will be. I love what the psalmist writes. He said, "Teach me Thy way, O Lord. I will walk in Thy truth." That's what we need to do, church. We need to repent and walk in the truth of Almighty God. If there was ever a time this world needed to repent and turn their face back to God, it is today. This world needs CPR. This world needs Christ. This world needs prayer. This world needs repentance. This world needs all three of those, and it needs it in massive doses immediately. As Christians, His children, we can show Christ to the world. We can proclaim the good news of the gospel wherever we might be. We can let Him shine through the cracks in our lives to a world that is lost and dying. As Christians, we can pray. We can fold our hands and bend our knees in prayer constantly. Not just for the ones that we love the most and hold most dear, but also for a world that is lost, that is suffering from spiritual cardiac arrest, that needs real life resuscitated in the life that they're living. And we need to do it effectively and fervently, never giving up, because that is what we're called to do. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, "Pray without ceasing." We need to be praying continuously for all of the lost ones out there in the world. But repentance is not alone by each individual. I can't make the choice to repent for you or anyone else no more than anybody else could make it for me. My hope is that by showing Christ to the world and praying without ceasing for them, they'll come to a point in their lives where they'll want to repent and give their heart to Christ. Maybe you're here today. Maybe you're listening in from somewhere and this message has connected with you. In the last few minutes, you have felt your chest pounding like something is happening. You know what that is? I really believe that's the Holy Spirit just doing spiritual CPR, trying to get your heart back to beating for Christ. Christ has been shown to you, and you know that you need Him. Prayers, I guarantee you, have already been offered up on your behalf, praying that you'll come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But repentance is up to you. And I can almost imagine it because I've been there. The devil is all up in your business this morning. The devil is all up in your ear. And he's telling you things like, "It's not the right time. There'll be another chance. You don't need anything this preacher is talking about. You're just fine like you are. And I'm going to tell you in love this morning, not because I want to, but because I need to, that if you continue to listen to him, you are on your way to hell. And I'm not saying that. My Bible says that. My Bible says that. And if you end up in hell, I am convinced in my mind that you're going to remember all eternity. That Sunday morning, you felt like your chest was caving in because the Holy Spirit was trying to get your heart beat back, and you listened to the devil. You listened to the one that said, not today. Because all the while, the devil is telling you, not today. My Jesus, in his word, he says, today is the accepted day of salvation. Today. I'm looking forward to the men's brotherhood, Layman Sunday, next Sunday. I'm looking forward to that. And I got a busy week. I've got to do some things this week. I'm going to be running hard in and out of state. I've got a wedding next weekend, and it's late on Saturday, and by the time that's over and I drive back, I'll have about enough time to get about 30 winks and get to church on Sunday morning. And by next Sunday this time, I'm going to take a nap myself. But here's the reality. I might not make it. Next Sunday, you may get together. And I'm not trying to be morbid. I'm really not. Next Sunday, you may get together, and y'all may be hugging one another because I've gone on to be with the Lord. But let me tell you this. Do me a favor. Rejoice. Because as much as I would hate to leave this life and doing everything that the Lord has given me to do, I know when it's my time and he calls me home, I know where I'm going. I have made my reservations. I've got my ticket. I'm ready to go. Okay? Are you ready to go? I know that I'm going to go to a place where there's no tears, no pain, no sickness, no more parting, just one long, endless day to live with Jesus. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Do you know you're going there? Because if you're not, let me tell you about the other place. You're going to a place where there's no escape. The Bible says that the fire burns, but it doesn't burn up. One long, endless suffering for all eternity. Christ isn't going to be there. No light. The Bible says that they'll be crying, they'll be gnashing of teeth. And you know one other thing? I really believe in heaven. I believe memories of people that we have left behind that don't know Christ, I don't think we'll ever remember those because it would make heaven a sad place. But in hell, I think our memory is going to be sharp. And I believe we will remember every time that we rejected Christ. I believe we will remember every opportunity we had to give our heart to Christ. And we did. I'm praying this morning that the Holy Spirit has touched your heart. And you know that Christ has been shared with you and that you need him. I'm praying that you know prayers have been lifted up for you and you need them. But I'm also praying that God gives you the courage that it takes to step out and say, I need repentance. Because that last one is up to you. You can't stop me from sharing Christ with you. You can't stop me from praying for you. But you got a free will. And that decision to repent is up to you. Don't let the devil get the victory in your life this morning. If you don't know Christ, you are spiritually sick. And you know it. And you know it. Let me introduce you to the great physician this morning. In our text, Jesus said, "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." I'm telling you this, the great physician is here this morning. Oh, and by the way, you don't need an appointment to see him. He can fit you in today. He don't make you wait, Beverly. He can fit you in today. Christ has been shown. Prayers have been prayed. The next step, repentance, is up to each one of us. Will you make that choice today? Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, we thank you for this message that you laid on my heart. Because, Father, I truly believe we need to hear this. We do need Christ, Father. We need prayer. We need repentance, both individually, collectively, and as a world and nation. Father, I truly believe you have been shown here this morning. I know prayers have gone up for those that are lost. But now, Father, this time of repentance is the toughest one of all. Sometimes, Lord, we feel like we don't need repentance. Sometimes we feel like we have gone too far, that repentance isn't even an option. But, Father, we know as Christians that neither one of those are true. Father, until breath leaves our body, Father, we have that opportunity to repent. Father, as you have touched hearts this morning, tried to spiritually restart, Father, those hearts that have fallen into arrest, I pray, Father, that they will step out this morning from wherever they might be, accept you as their Savior, repent of their sins, and, Father, that you would give them a brand new slate. Father, make them white as snow. And as your word says, put their sins far as the east is from the west and remember them no more. Give them the courage to do that right now in this time of commitment. Father, in the next few moments, we look forward to what you're going to do. And we ask all of these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.